Full Power Living with Eileen Dillon.
Do you know that more than two-thirds of Americans, according to the New York Times, believe that they have books stuck inside of them, that they just have to get out? That means that likely you have a book stuck inside of you. My guest today, Tom Bird, is in the business of helping people write the books that are stuck inside of them, and even in as little as 3 days, maybe even faster than that. He also believes you're actually being drawn by God to write your book. So stay with us as I talk with Tom Bird about writing, right from God. So welcome to Full Power Living, where we're dedicated to awakening the world to the power and importance of human emotions. You're listening to us on EmotionalPro.com's radio show page or blogtalkradio.com/FPL for Full Power Living. Or you can also listen to us through subscription on iTunes. And remember that we have a chat at each of our URLs, and we also have a toll-free number. I invite you to call in. It's 888-498-0570. As is appropriate, Tom Bird is the author of 27 books, including the number one Amazon bestseller, You Can Write Your Book in a Weekend. He's developer of the Tom Bird Method for Writing, and he's shared this method with over 80,000 aspiring authors at more than 120 of the finest colleges and universities in the U.S., including my own alma mater, the College of William and Mary, Duke University, and the University of Arizona. Tom has been the inspiration and guidance for more than 20 of his authors' landing places as Amazon bestsellers in just this past year. So with us to discuss ideas from his book, Write, that's W-R-I-T-E, or crossed out, R-I-G-H-T, Write from God, please welcome to Full Power Living, Tom Bird. Welcome, Tom.
Good morning, Eileen.
Well, I worked as a secretary for many years, and I can type over 120 words a minute, because I know you work with people handwriting. And I've got about, as we were talking about right before this show, I've got about 15 published books and a couple in the pipeline. And for the past 10 years at least, each time I sit down to write, I feel like I'm writing an old linotype machine and the words just drop onto my page as if they're being pushed off a shelf right into the proper spot. And
Yes. Because
I can type fast, I end up writing as fast as I can think. And I feel very blessed. Then I read your book and I discover that you teach people how to do this very thing as they write the books inside of them. And I'm really excited to learn that this is possible for all of us. And this is what you're writing about in your book, Write from God, correct?
Correct. Well, writing is an innate art form. It's an innate form of communication. And it gives us a direct pipeline to a direct communion to God, source, whatever you want to call he, she, or it. And so it's not something we have to develop. It's something we have to find and uncover because it's already inside of us. And innately, you were led to write the books in the way that you were led to write your books, and you used a keyboard, which is fine. My only suggestion is that people start out the writing their books in longhand to establish more of a tactile connection with their books. But after a few hours, and then they can easily switch to the keyboard, which for you would be much easier because you're so quick on the keyboard. But this is an innate art form. Writing is an innate art form. And it is a direct passageway to connect with God.
I really like that. So what you talk about in your book is that what is necessary for this to occur is that we quiet our left rational brain and allow our right more emotional side access. And that way we can operate without our usual impediments, which I gather are largely our own resistances.
Well, there's a few reasons that writing is difficult, Eileen. It's only difficult because the method we've been taught to write is improper. And we've been taught a left brain approach to writing. And writing is a right brain art form. And so if anyone is struggling with their writing out there, there's nothing wrong with you. There's just something wrong with the system that you've been employing. And we all fall prey to the inappropriate education of the logical brain. We're taught that writing is a logical art form, which it's not. It's not. Is it, first of all, it's a spiritual art form. Second of all, it's an emotional art form. Then it's a mental art form. Then it's a physical art form. So most times people approach writing from a purely mental point of view. And when they do that, that would be like ostracizing the three other aspects of themselves, not bringing them together into the writing of their books. So there's a few reasons why writing is hard. And the first one is we've just been taught in a proper system.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
All right.
The second thing I want people to realize is the reason that they want to write is because there is a book stuck inside them trying to get out. There is a book stuck inside them trying to get out. And so it's not that we have to create new books, because we don't. That's another very important concept. We're not looking to create a book. We're looking to release a book that's already there. And that book was written before you were born, on the other side of life. And it's divine timing that brings that book into fruition. Divine timing. So, I would have to say 100% of people that I've dealt with over the years have believed that they are procrastinators. Because they felt that, well, I've been wanting to write a book for 30 or 40 years. What they don't totally understand is that just because they had a premonition that they were meant to write a book 30 years ago doesn't mean they were meant to write a book 30 years ago. Divine timing comes into play. Divine timing comes into play. And that's when you have to write the book. Not that the desire to write that book becomes so overpowering that at that time you drop your fears, you drop your restrictions, drop your any excuses you may have to say, I just need to do this. Those are people that I work with. Those are people I perform best with. People that are willing to drop all their previous training and give in to the desire to write a book no matter where that desire comes from.
I really relate to that because I had this drive in the 1980s, and I had a young, an infant son at that time, and I asked my husband, take yourself and the child away from the house. Mondays are going to be my writing days. And I ran into one of the blocks that you talk about because I sat down with my big IBM Selectric typewriter, and I started to write. And I'd write about two paragraphs, and then I'd go back and read what I wrote and end up tearing the paper out, wadding it up, and throwing it on the floor. And I looked, after a while, it looked like I was part of a cartoon because I was surrounded by these papers.
Yes.
And finally, I sat back and said, what's going on? And I realized I grew up in a family with a very critical father, and I was terrified to put my words on paper because that would open me to criticism. And yet I still felt I needed to write. So I made this deal with myself. I said, you never have to show anything you write to anybody. Just put what's in you on the paper, stick the papers in a file cabinet, and when and if you're ready to look at it, you can take it out later. Well, I did that, and I wrote several things. And later, when I took it out, it was really good. And in fact, I took one of them without editing to a professional journal, and they published it without editing.
Wow. Well, that's the way it should be. So what you did is you created a safe, unconditional space for your author to come through and be who she was. That's what you did. And what the authors in us, the divine authors within us, live in an unconditional realm. So when we greet them with criticism or editing or judgment, they automatically go back in their hole. So you created a nice, safe, comfortable, unconditional space for that baby of a book to be born. And that's what I do. That's what we should all do. Not only just with our books, with our children, our friends, our family, our colleagues.
Mm. Now, I always love people who develop things that come through them. Maybe that's more like what you talk about in the book of having a direct connection with God. But you developed this as a college student, I believe, at in Slippery Rock. right?
Slippery Rock State University. I actually developed it a few years after I graduated from Ohio University. I was a publicist for the Pittsburgh Pirates, and I knew that I wanted to be an author, but every system I was trying wasn't working. So finally I hit a fit of desperation and had a mini nervous breakdown one night after a baseball game. I came home and just started crying. I just couldn't stop crying. And the reason I was crying was because I was finally expressing the frustration I'd felt for so long by trying all these conscious methods to become an author and nothing working. And so I feel that desperation is always the forefather of faith. And that led me to my faith to make a request of the Almighty that night. I got down on my knees and I said, "You know, I know you want me to do this, and I want to do this, but I swear no one down here knows how to do this. So if you show me how to do it, I'll spend the rest of my life sharing this system with people so they don't ever have to suffer as badly as I'm suffering right here and right now." You know, right. You have to watch what you pray for. Two nights later, I woke up in the middle of the night, had a vision of what I needed to do to become the author I was meant to be, not only how to write a book, but how to publish one. I put it into play, sold my first book 4 weeks later, tripled my salary, quit my job. I've been doing this ever since. So I've refined the system, but I believe the system that I share is very similar, if not exact, to what I learned 33 years ago through a divine connection with God. And what I help people do is remove the barriers that keep them from communicating directly with God. Remove those barriers, open their hearts, and let the books write their way through them. And that's basically the essence of what we do. I assume that when a person comes to me and enters one of my retreats or classes or lectures, that they're ready to write their books. They're ready to give up all their false beliefs, all their inappropriate education. They're ready to let the wounds heal and become who they're meant to be as a messenger of God on this planet. I believe that. And then I also assume that they have a book stuck inside them ready to come out. And my job then is to help them remove any excess wounds that are still lingering, connect them with the book, and walk them through the process of the book birthing itself through them. That's what I do. I've never taught anyone how to write a book. I want to make that real clear. I've never taught anyone how to write a book. I've taught them how to connect with the book that's already inside them. And amazing things happen as a result of that. The book starts coming through. The book is a representation, an ambassador of the white light of God as it comes through. A lot of personal issues and professional issues and physical issues become healed. And I get to watch these people literally transform their lives right before me as they write their books. So I think it's great that they write their books, and I love to see them complete the books and go on to be best-selling authors and establish careers as authors. But the biggest turn-on for me is watching the personal transformation they go through as a result of sitting in God's communal light for 3 days straight in my company, and how they change, their body structure changes, their face changes, their attitude changes, how young they look changes. It's an amazing thing to see happen. And Aristotle said to live a full and complete life, human beings need to do a few things, one of which was write a book, because I think he understood the spiritual significance of writing a book in this divine way. So that's what I see happen. And I really feel that it's great to go ahead and establish your career as an author. It's great to become an author, get a book published. But the personal byproducts are so much more powerful than anything that could be connected to the book on a tangible level. I mean, the personal transformation capabilities is phenomenal.
You know, you remind me, my friend has passed on, but my friend Kay Hamill, years ago as I was writing, said to me one day, "You know, experts don't write books. People who have things to learn write books."
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that's always teach what they need to know most.
Yes, yes. And so it's really, really great to hear you saying that. Now, before we leave this direct connection with God, I really appreciated reading your story. You had a rough upbringing with an angry mother, which caused you... I heard the word borderline. I've worked with people who have borderline personality disorder, and it sounded a lot like that. But very, very angry, And I love what you said. What brought you a lot of pain, but it also gave you the blessing of you not transferring your love and connection to your parents so much as leaving it with a direct connection with God. Tell me, when you say a direct connection with God, so the rest of us could recognize that, what's that like? What is it that you're describing there?
I'm never alone. I'm always loved. I'm always protected. I'm always guided. And I know that. At some level, I know that. And I'm the fifth of five children, the youngest by 9 years. And by the time I was born, my mother's borderline personality was in full bloom. And so there was a tremendous emotional distance between my parents and myself. So normally when a child is born, that child transfers his or her emotional dependency onto a parent. I couldn't do that because my parents were so far away emotionally that that would have been an impossibility. So I allowed that emotional dependence to be still in the hands of God. And so my parents, I don't want to sound like a victim or anything because I'm not. I mean, I believe we choose our parents.
Right.
And I think I chose my parents because they gave me the gift of maintaining the direct connection with God that we all have before we're born. And that was a beautiful gift. And they had to go through a lot of pain to be able to create that much distance between themselves and me for that divine connection to be maintained. I mean, I didn't know that I was different until my adolescence when my buddies and I would have a sleepover and stay up all night and talk the whole night through. And when I started telling them about my experiences, how I made time to talk every day to God, they're like, look at me like, you do what? I'm like, oh. Okay, next subject. Let's talk about this Friday football game. I didn't realize that my experience was so unique and so different until I conveyed to friends that it was typical for me to go in conversation with God on a daily basis to make time for that conversation and to be in a dialogue with God in one way or another throughout the entire day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't pray. I don't beg to God. I talk to God.
Right.
God's my father. God's my father, my mother, my whatever you want to call he, she, or it. And I just feel like I'm in direct communion with God all day long. And there's sometimes I leave and become a little bit human and a little bit irritated at traffic or something or someone's mistake. But in most cases, I'm in direct connection with God. And so at times, if I'm faced with a situation or decision, I'll quiet myself so I can hear. I quiet my mind so I can hear God give his or her advice to me. And so I didn't realize how beautiful a gift my parents gave me until I was an adolescent. And I realized that, yeah, I'm different, but I'm not weird. I have a special gift. My parents chose to love me in a way that they couldn't love me, but they knew someone else could.
Wow. I wonder how much of your direct connection with God allowed you to get to that. That's really great. So we're up to our first break, and when we come back, Tom, I want you to tell us a little bit about how a person can tell if they have a book stuck inside of them.
All right.
So my guest today is Tom Bird, who is author of 27 books and developer of the Tom Bird Method for writing the book that's inside of you. We're talking today about Write from God and more of this amazing approach to life and enlightenment when we return to Full Power Living. How would you parent your child if he or she were a foreign exchange student? As a host for an exchange student, you'd have 5 main jobs to do. Those are the same 5 jobs important in raising kids. People around the world have used this approach to raise kids who are self-directed, make great decisions, and are immune to peer pressure. Get your copy of the Exchange Student Model for Parenting, written by me, Eileen Dillon, now available on Kindle. As a 41-year marriage and family therapist, a single, married, step, adoptive, and grandmother, I've got a thing or two to tell you that's going to lighten your load as a parent and help you create incredible kids who will become amazing adults. go to Kindle.com and download the Exchange Student Model for Parenting today. All right, welcome back to Full Power Living, and I have a few announcements. Please go now to emotionalpro.com, which is our homepage, to get your copy of my free list of the signals of 7 everyday emotions. This will immediately help you to move toward mastery over the emotions that come up in your daily life. And while you're there, sign up to be on our mailing list because we want to send you our biweekly newsletter telling you about our programs. Next week, for example, my guest is Christopher Papadopoulos, who's talking with me about peace and where to find it. Peace and where to find it. That's 9 a.m. Pacific time next Thursday, January 21st. Thank you also for helping us with our mission of transforming our world through understanding the importance, mastery, and power of human emotions. I'm talking today with Tom Bird, who's the author of many books, but primarily what we're talking about today is a whole system for helping you to get your book that may be stuck inside of you, that's been in you from pre-birth, out into the world as we talk about right from God. And Tom, before our break, I asked if you would consider the question of how a person tells if they have a book inside of them.
Well, I'd love to answer that question, Eileen. First of all, I want to ask the listeners out there today, just take a moment and just drop any disbelief you may have right now. Just for a few moments, you can judge or criticize as much as you want in a few minutes. But right now, I'd like you to understand that the possibility is, there is a strong possibility that your book is a spiritual entity in nature. Just breathe that in for a minute. Just for a minute, drop any biases or disbeliefs you may have and just accept the fact that there may be a possibility that your book is a spiritual entity in nature, which means it already exists on the other side of life. And that book is a good old friend of yours with you and believed you in you when you didn't believe in yourself. And it's never going to leave you. It's like a best old friend. It's never going to leave you. So with that in mind, if your book indeed is spiritual in nature, then it's angelic. And angels communicate with us in two different forms. Number one, telepathically, where we just feel things. Or we may hear a song on the radio that we need to hear the lyrics for at a certain time and a certain place. So it communicates with us telepathically. And number two, it also communicates with us through reflection, mirroring images. So in response to your question, Eileen, if your listeners have ever had anyone say to them, you should write a book, that's an angelic mirroring reflection of what that human being subconsciously, they're seeing a book inside you. If you've ever had that happen, that someone else is noticing that you have a book inside you that needs to get out, that's one way you can tell if you've got a book inside you. Second of all, telepathically, any of you listeners have ever had the situation where writing is just poured out of you, whether you're writing a newsletter or a blog or a term paper or journaling, where it's just poured out of you uncontrollably. That's another sign. That's a telepathic communication with that book, where that book is literally taking you over and saying, here, let me show you where to go. So that's a second sign. Third, if you've ever awakened in the middle of the night and needed to write, it's another form of telepathic communication for the book inside you that already exists. Fourth, if writings ever poured out of you at a very relaxed state when you're taking a drive in a car or on an airplane where you're unbothered, that's another sign that you have a book inside you trying to get out. And the book is desperate at this point.
I love it.
Okay, so it doesn't really care what form it takes. It doesn't care if it comes out as a comic book, a screenplay, novel. All that matters to that book is that the message that it embodies is released in some tangible human form. So if you've experienced any type of any one of these signs, you have a book stuck inside you trying to get out, Or, last thing is, if someone's ever complimented on your writing, they've been touched by it. An English professor, an English teacher, a lover, spouse, friend, colleague, where they've been touched by something you've written, that shows that you have a divine connection to something greater on a literary level than you realize may consciously exist in your life. Those are ways you can tell if you've got a book stuck inside you trying to get out.
Wow. That's great to know that. When I was 16, Tom, my older sister asked me if I had any idea what I was going to do with my life. And without thinking, I said, I'm going to write. And she said, what are you going to write about? And I said, life. And that means I have to live some of it first. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I knew that, and I put it. I tried to be an English major at the College of William and Mary, but I hated all the analytical stuff that people did with literary works. I think I just really wanted to write. And then when I was in my 30s, I was attending a spiritualist church one day, and I was in my mid-30s maybe. And the man who was head of the church said, I have a message for you. You are supposed to be writing. Go home and write 15 minutes a day because you need to wake this up in you. So I went home and I wrote. The man's name was Richard Goodwin. And I wrote, Richard Goodwin said I should write, so I'm writing 15 minutes a day. But it opened me up. It did. And it brings up this whole issue you mentioned before. We may not be procrastinating. We may not need to feel guilty because there's a right time for each of us to birth our book, right?
Right, right. To be honest with you, I see procrastination as a good thing.
Uh-huh.
What we refer to as procrastination is a good thing. Because there is a divine timing, and just because we had a premonition at the age of 10 that you were meant to write doesn't mean you were meant to write a book at 11. Maybe you weren't meant to write a book till 30 or 40 or 50 or until Richard Goodwin talked to you.
Mm-hmm.
So procrastination is a way, is a physical way that we're kept from writing until the time is right. No pun intended. Until the time is right. And I'll be honest with you. I really think the reason I'm here today on your talk show is to talk to people whose time is right. I'm here because it's their time, and they're here because it's their time. I don't think there are any accidents. I think I'm here because the listeners that are listening to today, it's their time. Or it's someone's time in their life that they need to remind.
You know,
it's all about divine timing.
It's interesting because I just had a turn of events last night. As I told you before the program started, my husband has cancer. He just signed up with hospice yesterday. And I had been planning to go to Ecuador to visit one of our daughters who's been working there for 6 years and will be coming home soon. And her reaction was, no, I need to come and be with my dad. So suddenly I have 2 weeks that I planned to be away that I don't have work plans for. And not until this morning did I go, you know what? I should take myself someplace and write. So,
yes.
You know, it's like part of what you were talking about, which I totally agree with. People usually don't change or grow unless they get in pain. This I'm looking at this as I got into a level of pain here so that I'd finally get, now's the time to write.
Well, I agree with it completely. I don't think anyone changes till the pain becomes so great that they have to change. And,
right.
You know, I interview many of the people that are coming to my retreats. And one of the reasons I want to interview them is to see if it's the right time for them to write their books. And occasionally I'll say to somebody, you know, you sound like a really nice person. I'm sure you have a book in such a absolutely positive. But I don't see you in enough pain right now to be able to move beyond your previous beliefs to write this book. So I think pain is a directive mechanism that leads us to the greater evolution of our souls.
Well,
an old friend of mine one time told me I was in deep emotional pain over a breakup of a relationship. And, and he said to me, Tom, the reason you're in pain is because you're resisting the growth that pain is trying to bring your attention to.
Right.
Son of a gun. He really irritated me by saying that because I wanted to be the victim at that moment. You know, I wanted to be held and nurtured and cuddled and told that I was okay. He was right, and I've never been able to prove him wrong since. Pain is nothing but resistance to growth.
I agree. What I was going to say, and I know you, if you embrace change, and this is what your supporting people to do, right? If you step into the change instead of resisting it, then you don't have to have so much pain. You can just go forward with it.
Exactly. What I really do is I create a safe, nurturing, unconditional environment for them to step into, connect directly with God through the writing of their books, and then walk them through what it's like to make that transition. That's what I do. Mm-hmm. And my job is to help them connect directly with God. That's my job. And as I connect directly with the source of God or whatever you want to call it, he's here it, then God takes care of the rest. And if they resist, I understand their resistance because I resisted for years too, having a direct communion with God, a complete direct communion with God, not just the presence of God. Mm-hmm. And I understand. I understand what they're going through, and I can tell them and encourage them that it take the next step because it's okay. It's okay. Mm-hmm. It's like a trapeze artist, you know, when they let go of one trapeze and connect with the other. They mm-hmm. know that next trapeze is waiting for them as they're flying through the air. They know without any doubt in their mind that it's there. And my job is to say, the trapeze is there. You can let go of this one. And I promise you that when you turn around and hold out your hands, the next trapeze will land in your hands. It'll take you someplace different and better and greater, and a greater space for you.
Wow. Thank you. One of the questions on our chat is, when someone has their book edited, does it change the tone of the book, or does it change this spiritual experience?
It should never change the tone. It should never change the tone. It should enhance the tone. And whether a person is editing his or her own book or having someone edit it for them, you have to make sure that that book is entered into an unconditional, appreciative environment, where its assets are brought even more to the forefront and never diminished. You never want to work with an editor who is a frustrated author, because that editor will subconsciously attempt to take your book and make it into theirs because they don't have the guts to do what you just did.
Oh, that's an interesting way of looking at it, isn't it? Wow.
There's so few good editors out there. And editors are so important in the process, but there are so few good ones. I would say over 98% of the editors that exist are nothing but frustrated authors who don't have the guts to put pen to paper themselves and try to constantly manipulate your material into theirs so they can become the authors that they are afraid to be. So you have to be very selective. It's just like raising a child, you know. You got to make sure that when that child is going to school, he or she's protected and going to intramurals or basketball or soccer practice, that child is going into a safe environment. A book is a literary child. A book is a literary child, and you have to give it the same type of protection and safety and love that you would give your own child.
Mm. Wow, I really like that. A book is a literary child. I'm writing that down so I don't forget it. Now, you're... Oh, goodness. Come here.
You have a dog, too.
I have a small dog here.
Did you hear mine crying in the background?
No, I didn't.
Oh, my dog.
Hold on just a minute. I know this is the middle of a radio program, but...
It's so nice to be able to be with another human being like you, Eileen.
Yes. I have a friendly dog. Anybody walks in my house, she's all excited. So pardon that break. You know, you also have a book that I got hold of called Right to Heal. And
yes.
You've been talking around this, but when we write, what we're doing is bringing material out that then can allow us to heal. How does that work?
Well, first of all, let me say this. I wrote Right to Heal in 4 hours. It's the shortest book I've ever written. It's only 34 pages in length, but by far and away, it's easily the most powerful book I've ever written. And maybe the best book I've ever written. And Right to Heal was designed to help people relieve themselves of the inappropriate training that they've received as human beings and or
uh-huh.
as writers.
Uh-huh.
See, the first step in becoming a successful author, and success is very subjective, so however your listeners choose to define it is fine. But the first step in being a successful author is a catharsis. So you got to clear out and remove all the inappropriate blockages and walls and inappropriate stinking thinking and wrong education that's led you to believe
that you're not worthy enough to be a writer, or it's hard, because neither of which are true. And Right to Heal, and by the way, people can get a free digital copy of my book, Right to Heal, on my website, tombird.com. You can go there and download it from my freebies page, and I highly recommend it. Right to Heal is the magic bridge between and over miseducation and painful experiences that have kept you from being the author you can be. And so it embodies, Right to Heal embodies, the cathartic experience that every author needs to go through to free themselves of the bindings and the restrictions of the past.
While we're talking about tombird.com, I was really impressed when I went there at how much you do give away. Like, you give away the CD, for example, to help people calm their left brain and open up to their right brain. That's, you know, a lot of people who have something to offer the world, they don't give so much of it away because they're concerned they won't be successful. I don't see you doing that.
Yeah, well, that's very shallow thinking, but you're very correct. I believe about 20 years ago, it really finally sunk in to me that the reason I reached my fit of desperation where I requested the method that which I now teach from God was because I was meant to be the messenger of this message.
Right.
I'm the man that's supposed to share it, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So I believe this is my inheritance. This is definitely my inheritance, but it's all of our inheritance. So I love for people to come and hang out and write a book with me for a week, and I love working with them. I like publishing the books. But the fact of the matter is, I don't want to restrict that information just to people that have the money to pay for my services, because this is all of our inheritances. This has become my ministry. My ministry is based upon helping people re-commune directly with God through the writing of their books. That's what my ministry is. And
wow.
I'm thankful that I'm blessed. I'm so blessed and thankful that God chose me to do this. I don't really see myself worthy enough to convey this message, but I'm obviously pretty good at it. He trusts me, so I'm cool with that. But my job is to disseminate as much of this information on the planet as possible, so anyone that wants to write a book can and will do so, and do so successfully and easily and joyfully and productively and evolve as a result.
You know, Tom, for many years I've been a psychotherapist for 43 years, and I also have taught classes to people. And many years ago, I was going to my office to teach a class, and I got consumed with the thought of, who the heck am I going to teach this class?
Yeah.
Because I largely tell people that the answers are inside of you anyway. And so, and I just wouldn't let myself move my car until I got the response. And the response that I got was that I really am not somebody so special. I'm the one who's willing to do the job.
Yeah. To be honest with you, Eileen, if I had not hit my pit of desperation, I would have not understood the pain of others that are in the same situation as I.
Ah, very good. Very good.
So,
yes.
And my parents introduced me to a lot of pain, too. And, you know, I'm not trying to play the victim. I say I'm thankful for the pain that I was introduced to. I would not be compassionate to nor relate to the pain of other individuals had I not experienced it myself.
Uh-huh.
And
exactly.
I consider myself a very compassionate individual. My goal is I just don't want anybody that wants to write a book to hurt as much as I hurt at the pinnacle of my pain. I just don't want that for anybody.
And that's,
if
what,
I can
makes,
somehow,
that's what makes you willing
can,
to do the job, right?
Well, yeah, you know, and I do get a lot of kickback, you know. I mean, to watch, last night I was teaching in Mesa, Arizona, to a packed room, and I was only there for 2.5 hours, but I saw people's lives change. I saw the look in their eye change. I saw them open up. I saw them write like they've never written before. I mean, to know that the message that I am given the responsibility of carrying forward can change a person's life so quickly and so positively is such a turn-on to me. It's so great to know that I've got a place in this life and I can possibly contribute to it. I mean, wow. What more could I ask for? I mean, that's payment enough. I make plenty of money. I don't need to squeeze people for this information that I believe is their inheritance. Hell, if
you don't have the money to join me at a retreat, that's not a problem. Go to my website, read the books, listen to the classes, follow the instructions, write your book at home. Just write it. You know,
right.
I believe self-actualization is possible through the writing of a book through my method. And if everyone that wanted to write a book, the 81% of Americans, just for example, that the New York Times says have books stuck in something, if 81% of Americans sat down and reached self-actualization through writing a book, just think how much better of a place this would be. And man, just knowing that I could be part of that, wow, that's unbelievable to me. Me, little Tom Bird from grew up in a blue-collar family in Erie, Pennsylvania, that I could be a part of something so powerful, wow. Well, that is payment beyond belief, you know. So I get a lot out of this, and I'm willing to give away a lot as a result.
Yeah, I really relate to that. As a psychotherapist, sometimes I've said to people, you know how when your friends come up to you and they tell you they're in terrible pain, and you sit there and you go, gosh, I wish I knew what to tell them. I actually know what to say, you know. That's so wonderful.
Yeah.
So I really relate to that. We're up to our second break. I'm talking with Tom Bird about his book, Write from God, and do find him at tombird.com. You're listening to Full Power Living. We'll be right back.
Everybody feels anger, but if you don't learn to deal with it, anger can mess up your life. It can cause you relationship problems, difficulties on the job, or create health problems. If you want a way to understand and work with anger that's simple yet so powerful it helps you to put an end to the specific angers that are messing up your life, then you'll want to get a copy of a mini course I've created for you entitled Reduce Anger Now. With it, I want you to be able to figure out what's stimulating the anger you feel and have an easy way to change that anger so you can dramatically reduce the anger in your life. I'm Eileen Dillon, the Emotional Pro, longtime psychotherapist, coach, and anger expert. I've helped thousands of people to master anger, and I want you to begin to become an anger master in your life. Order Reduce Anger Now at the store, www.emotionalpro.com. That's www.emotionalpro.com.
Now, in case you're just joining us, I'm talking today with Tom Bird, the originator of the Tom Bird Method, an approach that thousands of people have already followed to bring the book that's stuck inside of them into the world. Check him out at tombird.com. Now, Tom, because I'm very interested in emotions, I hear you say you can see the eyes of a person change, their face soften, all this as they're writing. Over the years, what have you observed happens to people's emotions?
Well, first of all, the first thing I see happens is they express their unresolved, unacknowledged wounds. And when they make room in their character, when they make room in their soul for the more to come, when they get rid of those unresolved issues and wounds, they make room for more of the love of God to come in. And as a result, I've seen physical ailments healed. I've had plenty of people come to my retreats to say, I'm concerned that I won't be able to write because I've got carpal tunnel, or I've got arthritis, or I've got a damaged shoulder from a car accident I was in several years ago. And I've seen when they've begun to write that they go deeply into that pain initially. They feel the resistance, but if they keep writing, they bring the love of God through, the white light of God through, and they are actually healed. And that happens for emotional issues as well as physical issues. I've seen amazing things happen, and I'm always a little concerned that I may come off as callous, even though I don't want to be, when a author or potential author says to me, you know, I've got this problem with my shoulder, for example, that has prohibited me from writing for the last 5 years because it's painful. And I hear God come through and say, well, just tell her to sit down and write. And I'll say, well, I feel that you should just sit down and write. And if after a certain period of time the pain isn't relieved, then we'll look at other alternatives. So I'm concerned that I come off callous, but that suggestion's never been wrong in anyone I've ever given it to at one of my retreats. So when the white light of God comes through, because again, your book is a bridge to a direct communion with God. So it's just like plugging a light into an outlet and the light comes on. That's exactly what happens with us when we plug in directly to God through the writing of our books. And all kinds of things have been healed. Relationships are healed. Attitudes are healed. Past wounds are healed. The abuse issues are healed. Physical ailments are healed. That's what I see happening consistently at my retreats. And to be honest with you, I need to see those things because I'm kind of like that voice out in the wilderness calling out saying, you can do this. Mm-hmm. You are meant to do this, and doing this will be great for you. Where if you go to a college or university, in most cases you'll find professors or departments saying, writing's hard, very few can do it, you have to be very talented, you have to be very committed. I disagree with all that.
I do too.
This is a divine right of ours to be heard and to leave something tangible behind in the form of writing or as a book. And I disagree completely with them, completely. My experience has been 100% different than what they've experienced. Mm-hmm. And again, if you go into a situation looking for pain and you're looking for excuses, you're going to find it. If you go into a situation looking for success and happiness and breakthroughs and enlightenment, you're going to find that. So we are the masters of our own ships. We're the captains of our own ships. And what we choose to see going into a situation determines what we're going to get out of it. And so really what I want to try to do by doing as many talk shows and presentations as I do is change people's attitudes to what is possible for writing. Because if I can change their attitude, then they'll open up into the greater space of this being a very productive, fulfilling endeavor as opposed to painful and frustrating and unsuccessful.
I really relate to what you're talking about doing there, Tom. In the late 70s, early 80s, as I was trying to teach people how important their emotions were, it was like talking in the wilderness because people were going, mm-hmm. oh, no, you know. And now it's more acceptable, but it's quite a challenging job, and I think you're really doing a great job and certainly having all the following that you have. Is an indication of that, because in a sense you first have to tell people, look, this is important, and then you can tell them how it's done or what they need to do to get there.
Well, it's not important. It's essential. And
okay, sorry,
they're not important either. And they're not important either. They're essential. Every human being, every soul on this planet is extremely important. Life is nothing more than a huge jigsaw puzzle made up of billions of pieces. Mm-hmm. And for that puzzle to fully come together, each piece has to be put in its place. And each piece has to be put in that place by the piece itself through a self-actualization, which is what writing leads us to. I mean, you'll never know how wonderful and how beautiful and how simplistic but yet extravagant you are as a human being until you reach some form of self-actualization as a child of God. Once you realize that, you realize there are things that matter in life. But most of the things that you thought mattered don't matter. They're controlled by the things that do, if that makes sense.
Yes. And you know, I was going to comment or talk with you about, in your book you say that this whole concept you just brought up about a puzzle, I was just talking about that, being stimulated to that same concept from reading your book. This morning I was talking with a friend. Because you say that there's a message you are meant to deliver. And the way I heard that was that each person who comes to the earth has a word, if you will, to deliver. And that's their piece of the puzzle.
Yes. I believe that my experience has taught me, and when I speak and say I believe, it's because of what my experience has taught me, not a theory that I'm trying to prove, but what I've experienced. And what I believe is that every author, every human being has an epitaph written on his or her heart. And that's their message. I know my message, even though I've written now 29 books, The message in each one of my books is exactly the same. No matter how different the books are, the message is the same. And my message is, you have a divine purpose to live. If you live it, you'll be happy. If you don't, you won't. You're not. That's very simple. And no matter what I write, Eileen, no matter what I write, it always leads the book back to that point. The book always leads us back to that point. And I believe everyone has an epitaph written on their heart, too. And they need to tangibly, they have to tangibly leave that epitaph behind on the planet before they leave to reach fulfillment as a human being and tangibly leave it. You can treat people with a certain respect, a certain message. That's one thing. But tangibly, you have to leave it behind in some type of physical form, which most people choose books to do that, some type of physical form for your life and your book to be complete. And that's why writing books is so important, because this is what we're here to do, is leave a tangible representation behind of a message that we embody. And a book gives us that ability.
Okay, we don't have a lot of time to explore this, but that brings up this whole issue where 25 years ago, if I wrote a book, I would have to go through a major publisher. Now yeah. I can go to I can go to Kindle and publish it myself. And so there's a proliferation of people not only writing books but publishing them. It's then based on what you're saying, that's like a kind of a spiritual explosion.
We have entered into, Eileen, what I refer to as the golden age of book publishing. I went through conventional book publishers for 20-some years, and I did extremely well, but it was a very frustrating experience because I lacked the control of my own art form, and I received very little of the profit that was generated. We've entered into, because of the crash of the economy, what I refer to as the new age of book publishing, or the golden age of publishing. What I'd recommend to your listeners today is to go to my website, tombird.com. There's a freebie page where I give away all kinds of free things. And on that page is a video class, which I performed 2 or 3 years ago, called The New Age of Publishing, to learn about what new opportunities are available for you and to learn about how the publishing industry has completely changed. I recommend that you listen to that free video, and it'll give you all the information you need. But we are in the golden age of publishing. I didn't think I'd be able to see this day before I passed. I'm so lucky that I have been able to see it, not only see it, but experience it and expand it.
Mm-hmm. Well, I really find this fascinating. I told you before the program started that I just, you talk about you could write a book in a weekend or 3 days, that I took that as a challenge a few years ago and wrote a book on some of the things that parents need to know about when their adult children return home to live. And I did write it in 3 days, I think, 2.5 days, something like that. And I published it through Kindle. It's available now. It made me feel really good, you know, that I did write what was in my heart. So I have some idea personally of what you're talking about. I'm looking forward to learning even more from you as I go through your books, and definitely I'm hitting up your freebie page.
Please do. Take full advantage of it, Eileen.
Thank you. But, you know, I just am so grateful to you for taking this project on, for making yourself available to do it. And I want to thank you for sharing your word both in the world and with us here on Full Power Living today. I know that you know you're participating in an amazing effort, and I just want to thank you for doing that.
It's my pleasure, Eileen, and thank you for having me this morning. And it's been a pleasure communing with you and your audience, and thank you for reading my books and putting into play what I suggested, because really I'm talking about a whole new approach to writing and living. It's an approach that we really all need to embrace, because this is where we are, this is where we're going, this is where we're meant to be. And thank you for giving me the opportunity and platform to share my message with you and your listeners today.
It's my pleasure. You have a great day. So let me remind you that Tom Bird can be found at tombird.com, T-O-M-B-I-R-D, on the web. The book we've discussed today is called Write from God. And some of the others we've mentioned is You Can Write Your Book in a Weekend, Write to Publish, and Right to Heal, all by Tom Bird. So do check this out. Oh my gosh, what a wonderful resource. And I'm really happy to be able to bring it to you. And join us live every Thursday at 9 a.m. Pacific Time and noon Eastern for more powerful experiences on Full Power Living. And remember, next week, another way to find peace by going inside when I talk with Christopher Papadopoulos about peace, P-E-A-C-E, and where to find it. That's January 21st, 9 to 10 a.m. Pacific Time and noon Eastern Time. And I look forward to having you with us for that show. Paul Johnson of Fresh Talk Media and I have been co-producers of this show, along with my little dog, Pie. Thank you for being my mentor, Paul. And for now, I'm Eileen Dillon, your host, reminding you, pay attention not to what you want to overcome, but to what you want to become.
To Full Power Living with Eileen Dillon.